listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2. Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Salam, 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 as they would say in Persian countries.
Anyway.
We did have salam 1 week.
Have we done salam?
Yeah. Maybe it's hello in 2 different countries, but
really,
you had salam. I think it was Sudanese.
It could just be that it's Arabic. Salam alaikum, alaikum salam.
All right.
Yep.
So, do I have to do another one this week?
No, don't. Our whole problem with this is it's a handbrake. You said something, now move on, get into the show.
Well, Jack handbraked it then.
I'll allow it. He's quality control sometimes.
Yeah, that's good, actually, Jack. You should be ruling with an iron fist.
And it just stops like 20 or 30 emails coming in to say, hey, go back and listen to this podcast.
Yeah. Jack started to save himself the work of having to read an email.
Well, apologies if I've already done it. I thought I hadn't really covered off that region. Mm. And so then, hence I was reaching out to
them. I think it's just in Arabic. It's just Arabic.
Yep. We love our international listeners.
So much, Ando.
Yes.
Which is so much.
It's true.
Be you local, be you foreign.
Yep.
Be you an enemy, we must hate you. That's the rules. But usually we don't have podcasters who hate us.
Double checked, Kenny from Ireland isn't an enemy.
Not an enemy. Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast.
Not a foe.
He filled out the form, the VIP form at hamishnady.com to be more involved in his special skills. There were two that spiked my interest.
Right.
He joins us now. Kenny, ahoy to you.
Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy, Kenny. Thank you for taking the time, sir, to field this international call.
We understand it's late in Galway, so we won't take up too much of your time.
Not from the Ed Sheeran song. What has Ed done for Galway?
Has Galway changed a bit since that Galway Girl song?
It's a completely different city now. Yeah. It's everyone is looking like Ed Sheeran now. Everyone's got red hair. It's fantastic.
Big red wig on the town hall.
They haven't looked back. Fantastic.
Just like Ed wouldn't want you to do. Never look back if you're Sheeran. You used to be fat. Who cares? I'm looking forward. I'm skinny now. I've got a sleeve.
Kenny, the one that I really wanted to test, and I think we might reserve this for some kind of international tour where Hamish and I travel the world with Jack, hopefully.
Jeez, I mean, we have flown people into state, Kenny, before to summon ducks / Eurasian coots, doesn't matter, and weigh meat and various things, but we've never put ourselves on a plane and gone somewhere.
Yes.
Could this be good enough?
The one I liked was I can park my car into any space once there is 24 inches of space in excess of my car available. So with a 24-inch extra, so if we measured his car, measured 24 inches, he's going to get it in there. I'd love to see that. That's tight.
At any speed?
No.
I'll take a run in it, and then I'll just hit the brakes and slide in.
Yeah, the Ace Ventura style. Yeah. We'll wait that if in years to come we have a budget big enough just to travel around in a plane dedicated to the podcast, like Air Force One, where we hear a special skill, we go straight to the country and we test
it. You're dreaming large, which is nice. I'm dreaming bigger. I'm thinking more, the X-Men plane.
Oh,
I can hover over people.
Yeah.
And we leap from the back and flash our badges and go, do your skill.
I always dream too small.
That's a big problem.
But I wanted to test you on this one. He says, Ham, I can identify any Guns N' Roses studio album track from just playing 2 to 3 seconds of any song.
Oof. Whoa, Ken.
Yes. So, Kenny, we're going to do this down the phone.
Well, could I just set a few parameters?
Sure, always. We love parameters.
Because it was only once I had said I could do it, and then your producer got in touch with me, that I realized, oh, hold on a second now. One of the albums that Guns N' Roses did, I don't recognize that as a Guns N' Roses album. The one that Axl Rose did by himself.
Yes. Yes, no, I agree. That's the latest one.
So it's a bit of a China-Taiwan scenario, is it?
What was the name? What was the name of that album? Do you recall?
That was the Chinese Democracy.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, we can. I did have one Chinese Democracy track. I can string it from the record. Although,
Not officially recognised.
We'll see how we go. I've started with a couple of softballs, Kenny, as we always do.
To Kenny, Chinese democracies are like a Lance Armstrong Tour de France win.
Yeah.
It may have happened, but it's certainly not recognised by everyone.
Okay. Again, we'll start softballs.
Okay.
Work up to harder.
Okay, good luck.
Off you go.
Okay. Welcome to the jungle.
Yes.
Very good.
Correct. Also, the song Andy has automatically rigged on his bed anytime someone lies down on it. Andy's lair. Very good, Kenny. I've not been lucky enough to trigger the song, though I've certainly heard it from downstairs as I hear Andy's leather pants hitting the floor, thudding through his oak floorboards.
Let's play on. Second song. When you're talking
to yourself. Yeah. Estranged.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good. God, I thought that was from Cats.
Off the album, do you want to try for an extra point? Off the album.
Use Your Illusion 2.
Correct.
Jeez, okay, good.
Here we go.
We're going to master here.
Now, let me just say, my ears are calibrated for my room area, and the audio isn't great over the phone.
Would you like it one more time?
Play it again, yeah.
We'll allow it again.
Is it Out to Get Me?
Wow! Oh, Kenny! Yeah. It is Out to Get
yes!
Me!
Nice.
From which album?
Appetite for Destruction.
Yes!
Kenny, I realize I should come clean here. I'm doing complete pretend to know what's going on because I didn't even know we were calling you because you came through to Andy's side of the emails. Andy's got the sheet over there. He's organised the songs. And halfway through my cheer, I realised I was being a bit of a fraud because I'm pretending. I pretended to give you the correct there, but I was really just coming a millisecond behind the fando. But very good.
It really was a best out of three, but the first one was just a warm-up. If you get this one, you get a coin.
Yeah. Oh, Ken.
Okay.
Good luck, mate.
Thank you. Bad Apples.
He's got it.
Yes.
It sounded like the end of a song. Was that the end of a song?
I don't know.
That was done. Oh, my God. I got a H&A coin.
You got an H&A coin, Kenny. You're rich, baby.
Time to retire.
I think it's our first one sent to Ireland.
Yeah, first international coin. Breaking.
Not first international. Jack went across and created lot of foes.
Has gave away not enough in London. But we are, again, breaching international monetary laws by sending a bearer of bonds or a denomination worth far more than $10,000 across international lines and just throwing two fingers up at the man. You can't stop Bitcoin, baby, and you can't stop our analog coin. You can stop it. Please don't. let it through. Be a good
Kenny,
sport.
Thank you very much for listening, mate. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much, lads. Thank you. Take care.
I hope one day we get to see you park your car in the flesh, sir. Thank you.
Oh, I absolutely will. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And something I was going to bring up off air, but I think it's a group discussion.
Okay.
You've got some new wheel. You've got some new car.
Yes. A new car.
Shiny new car. Yep. Jack. That gave me a genuinely impressed look. Like, that's the kind of thing I might like one day. You've got Jack, you're building your house. You wouldn't like a shiny new car.
No.
You do too much pretend trade work.
Yes. I get my mincemeat at the deli. And I have a new car.
Look at this man, huh? Custom meats, custom car, it almost seems, because you've got something in your car that I've just been noticing a heck of a lot around lately, the old red brake calipers.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, from the outside, people can see the red brake.
The colour of the brake caliper on the disc. Have you ever seen this before, Jack?
If I have, I've not noticed it. What it is.
Through your kind of alloy wheels, there leaves enough gap to see the red brake calipers.
And it's meant to signify to the world performance model.
Yep.
It's meant to signify, I think, the brakes on this baby are so big, it's often decelerating me from huge speeds. Because you only see it on top line, unlike,
I didn't know. It wasn't like I
every car, let me put this out, every single car model or brand would have a model that has red brake calipers.
Yes.
And it's the thing that people want. I even want red brake calipers.
I don't remember ticking a box that said, do you want red brake calipers?
You're an anomaly because it's wasted on you, probably, because you're not that into cars.
No.
But it's definitely there.
Yep.
You've got something in your car that for other people would be a deal breaker.
Okay.
It would get them going the level up because they want the red brake caliper. like Sam, our producer, for instance, I don't need to tell you what level car he bought.
No, entry level.
Entry level. And you guys used to drive the same car and park next to each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, people go, is that Andy's car or Sam's car? And I'd say, wash your mouth out. Sam's car's the entry level. How dare you? Of course Andy's car's got the bells and whistles. Now it's easier because I can go, have another look. And they have a little peek and come back and go, yep,
red.
Sorry, brake. I had a look at the wheels. I've seen the red brake calipers. Sam is seven levels away from that. Is this a decent business idea? People love red brake calipers so much.
They do.
People that are into cars just love them so much. Mm. And we all know, like, the redness doesn't add any stopping ability.
No.
It's just that race cars have visible brake calipers. That's really what's happened here.
And Ferrari has been deemed fast. And
has a level of redness to it.
And is red.
Even though their logo's yellow.
Yeah, and so suddenly we all think red is fast.
So what you're getting across a lot of different brands, Jack, to help you understand, is a level of redness on the brakes is deemed to be a very, very desirable thing. It's like picking one part of the car that was usually hidden, and now we're going to show you, make it a feature part, which I suppose is like big exhausts would be an example of that. We used to hide them. Now we go have a look. We don't mind.
Have a big.
It's such a good, such a top quality part. We actually want you to see this.
Yeah.
Because some of
the bigger the better now. Like if you can fit a bowling ball in your exhaust.
The bigger the better.
That's better.
That's kind of the way marketers see cars is like, look, we know the general gist of the cars. We hide most of it from you.
Yeah.
So we know if we're showing you a bit, it's a good bit. Like when the engine comes out, the bonnet, like on a charger.
Yeah.
We wouldn't show you this if it wasn't a good bit. Why would we? Would hide this bit if it's to be seen.
Yes.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's red, the red brake caliper. Do you reckon there's a business? And I reckon there is.
Okay.
In simply just going, bring your car in, we'll paint your caliper. we'll give you a red brake caliper.
Yep.
I think people would do that. Now, I'm talking to a guy that doesn't care about red. Red a caliper. Or just like, we'll dip a caliper. It would be so easy to paint a brake caliper.
Yes.
I reckon.
It just reminds me of when my mum took my Target pants and sewed a Stussy label on.
That's exactly what it is. That is what a red brake caliper is. Modern day, a red brake caliper is the Stussy label of the wheel.
Yeah.
And that's what people are falling for now. Jack, if we'd pay for it.
Well, I think I've only got. I think mine's so.
No, Jack has to stick his feet through the floor to slow his car down.
Mine doesn't even show the brakes because
he doesn't have alloy.
Like no hubcaps. I got the crappy ones.
It's hidden. It's hidden from you. If we could pay for it, would you like red brake calipers on your car?
On the Ute.
Yeah.
It's a 2000 model.
You can still have calipers.
All right, put them on.
No way, mate. As if we're dead. That's too easy.
Haim, it's time to play this.
How did you make it? You only had to move 40 centimetres to press the screen. How did you make it look like you had 2 metres to move? I think I saw Jack trip over himself trying to move.
I got a confession to make. I saw him on his heels. I just saw him relaxing back there and I thought he probably thinks I'm going to do a bit of a longer intro here.
No, that's why you're the best, Ando. And you got done by the best, Jack. You got sniped.
I got sniped. The look on his face as he rolled in forward to try and hit it and then he missed it.
Well, as the only spectator, I loved what you did and I appreciate it. Well, that was a real gift. That was basically just Andy giving me a gift and it was well received and I appreciate it.
It is time to play Song to Cram, though. Where someone has contacted the show who has a specialty subject, something they know everything about. Xander is the person today. Xander, ahoy.
Ahoy, boy.
Ahoy, Xander. For people not familiar with this segment, Xander, you have something you know about to a tertiary level, first year uni level. We like to hover around. Chance for Ando and I to test the only thing we did at university for the brief time we were there, which is furiously try and cram facts into our short-term memory where they would never be remembered, but they might be useful for the next 10 minutes.
Yes.
If we can get 2 out of 3 of the hard questions you're going to ask us on your specialty subject correct, We win. And did last time we played this, did we offer up a coin?
I think we did, and I was perplexed with it, but we won.
We kept the coin.
We kept the coin. So let's go a coin again.
Xander, if you can stump us, you get a coin.
What's the subject today, my friend?
It's Lego.
Ooh. I won't throw. I was about to throw a fact out about Lego that I know, but I was like, no,
save it.
Yep. No, I'm going to save it, Xander.
Xander, we're going to put you on hold so you can't hear. Oh, no, Xander, you got a question for Xander?
Have you studied Lego, or like, do you just really, really into it? And like, is there any reason why you're an expert?
I'm pretty into it.
That'd be it then.
Are you a master builder? There are like only because my wife got me a Lego portrait made for my 30th, my face made out of Lego, and there's like five guys in Australia who are like accredited builders.
Mm. Yeah.
Are you one of those guys?
No, I wish.
Yeah. Okay, cool. No. So you just like Lego?
I just like Lego.
That's fair enough.
It's a good thing.
Terrific interlocking brick system based game.
Okay. Thank you, Xander. The reason why I asked him, is because I wanted to know whether he knows historical things about Lego, how he's gonna
for the people that love Lego, because I go to Legoland every 3 to 4 weeks because it's a great place to take Sandy, a member, right? Yeah. And so I feel like I've got a secret advantage here in there, because I've come across people that love Lego like this, and the things they like to hit you with are, you'd never believe how many bricks Lego produces a year. That kind of stuff. Okay. Historically, how many? And you watch a little video at the start of Legoland, and it tells you it's a robot factory that makes them all.
Okay, can you do their manufacturing side, and I will do records like the tallest tower ever built.
We're gonna need a bit of history. Are we gonna need like set stuff too? Like, did Lego ever build this? For instance, like the Millennium Falcon's that's got the highest number of pieces of any Lego set ever, 7,500.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay, so
it used to be the Disney Castle, and now it's the Millennium Falcon.
So you go specific
set stuff, and manufacturing.
Yep, and I will go history and records.
God, it sounds like it is a uni degree.
Okay,
Xander, we're confident, mate.
We'll have 3.5 minutes now. You stay on hold. It'll feel like an instant to people listening, but we'll be back after this. Okay, Haim, you've got to put your computer down.
You can't.
No, you've still got to put your computer down.
Yep. Because the thing is, if you just, it's not fair.
Okay. Sorry, there, Xander. We're in the middle of this. Whoa, get ready, song to cram. Whoa, get ready, song to cram. Xander, remind everybody of your specialty subject.
It's Lego.
It's Lego, and we had 3.5 minutes, 3:52 for Hamish, because he kept trying to get things in his head.
I was sets and manufacturing.
Don't tell him, but we could tell him.
We can tell him now. I think you've got your questions probably planned, Xander. But the problem was, Ando, as I rapidly trawled the internet for Lego stuff, I kept getting distracted by great facts.
And
that might not have been relevant to sets and manufacturing, but like more really interesting.
Well, that was my worry was that you would purchase something. That was my legitimate worry.
I'm not
worry.
Joking. I've got something earmarked to buy. It looks amazing.
My legitimate worry is you get so distracted, and the idea is meant to cram over that amount of time, and you get so distracted that you would buy something.
Some of the Star Wars stuff.
All right, Xander.
Some of the Star Wars stuff I hadn't seen.
A coin is on the line. Hit us with the first question.
Beautiful. First question, boys. How old is Lego?
Are you talking about when it was first produced in wooden blocks, or are you talking about when it was first available to the public, Xander?
Wooden blocks.
Wooden blocks?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, I would have thought you would...
You didn't know that.
When the first plastic brick was pressed. And Lego, of course, meaning play well. It's a conjunction of two words in Danish.
That might be the next question. Might be. That could be, and we all know that.
Wooden plastic. Oh, yeah, what are the words?
Legot.
What a guess.
Xander... I think it was Ole Kirk Christensen in Denmark in 1932 when he first put the wooden blocks together.
Bang on, boys. Yep.
Well done, Ando. Well done. He ran a little competition too to
get the name.
Well, no one came up with a better name than Lego.
Xander, go for it.
Number two.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How many Lego sets have been released?
Manufacturing.
sets and manufacturing.
Have a good handle.
An intersection of the two. Yeah. How many Lego sets in total or different sets?
In total.
Across the world.
Oh, as in like different
sets. Different sets. Oh, of yeah. course. Well, yes, be more specific with your question.
Sorry.
How many different sets have been released?
Yes.
Yes. Of course, it's numerous.
Oh, gosh. Will you accept that, Fanda?
It's a positive integer.
More, please.
Okay,
it's
no.
not a negative number.
No, that's fair, Xander. A good
but
quiz master.
I'm honing in. I'm just trying to get my head around the question. Hmm. How many different sets? We know the Taj Mahal, of course, was the highest number, highest brick count. The Taj Mahal set was the set with the highest number of bricks in it until recently. But there's more sets than that.
More than one, yeah.
Yeah, there's more than one.
And again, you're not accepting that.
Yeah. Haim, do you want to? You don't know, so do you have a guess or?
How dare you?
Dare you?
113,000. Over 113,000.
Incorrect. 14,992.
Okay, so it's under 113,000. I like that you tried to qualify your answer.
I even hedged. I even actually included an infinite set.
You should have said,
and I couldn't get it.
You should have said to under a million.
Yeah, it could have. But it is approaching 113,000.
Okay, it means that now Xander goes to question three. And the coin is very much up for grabs. We could have crushed his dreams there.
That would have been good. That would have been good. That would have been lovely. But now we're forced to wait a little longer to crush a man's dreams. Yes. Xander, go for it.
How many bricks are in the largest commercially available set?
Haim?
Which I believe is the Collector's Edition Millennium Falcon.
It is.
And you've got him on the ropes.
Xander, 7,000. 500.
Oh, yeah.
Got him! Got him! With the ultimate hugging out there to make him think he'd got the coin too. Not just did we crush a dream, but we smashed it into 7,500 pieces.
Stamped on his dream's throat. Oh, you certainly wouldn't be able to build the tallest Lego tower in the world with that, because that requires 550,000 Legos.
Certainly does. As the students of New Ham Berkshire College did, Ando.
And it went to 114 feet, 11 inches. Xander.
I tell you what though, Xander, if you're looking for a group of people to commiserate with, why don't you try and hang out with the Lego micro figures? If each figure sold was its own nation, it'd be a nation populated by 4 billion figurines of Lego.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Thanks for the suggestion that I go and hang out with Lego people.
I do nightly.
Xander, were you amazed by my knowledge of the Millennium Falcon?
I was, and I, oh, yeah, I was.
5,197 in the Taj Mahal. Millennium Falcon smashed it to pieces.
Xander, thank you. We don't need to hang on for you to congratulate Hamish again after he requests how impressed you were. You can simply
I came from the depths of the 113,000.
Yeah, you're well off there.
I was able to charge it back with that. Hey, Xander, can I tell you a fun Lego fact I learned my line? I think you'll enjoy this one too, Ando. This is actually what I spent about a minute doing, and I shouldn't have. Hmm. Did you know that there's a guy that built a house out of Lego, Xander?
Yeah, James May.
Is that his name?
Stop telling Xander things he already knows, mate. He's the expert. Thanks, Xander.
Thank
Cheers.
You.
Cheers, buddy.
See you, mate.
See you, boys.
Sorry about the dreams thing.
Hey, one more quick reminder for the People's Junket.
Yep.
Our show, True Story, it comes out August 7th. It's Tuesday nights, 8:40.
Boom.
We are doing it. We'll be doing the regular press, the bigger TV shows, the bigger radio shows, the bigger newspapers. And we felt
about the little guy?
What about the little guy?
Yeah,
that's
thanks.
Exactly right.
Well spoken up, little guy. And usual for you to have the confidence to talk during the mentions of such bigger outlets.
So putting on a junket, if you have an existing publication, it could be your own YouTube channel,
yep.
It could be a school newsletter, a workplace newspaper, whatever it might be, a regional radio show, community radio show.
We've got so many great ones coming in, but we're going to do this last final message to make sure that everyone's been informed. Mm. If you know someone that has this, if you're a mom or a parent or whatever of kids, your kids are doing their YouTube channel and they would like one of the coveted 4-minute slots. We're doing 4 minutes.
A lot of golf places, Ham, like at golf clubs, yeah, they send out a newsletter and generally is about the condition of the grass.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice, to have Andy talk about the condition of the grass?
You can ask any questions you like.
I'm happy to play on my phone for 4 minutes if you want to do a 4-minute interview with Andy. We've got so many amazing different publications that have applied and different shows and channels. It's going to be an amazing day. This is your last chance to get part of it. It's going to be the 4th of August, so the Saturday before our show airs
in a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks' time. It is in Sydney, as we keep saying. If you can get yourself to Sydney, you increase your chances. If not, still apply anyway.
Yeah.
We'd love to see you on the 4th. HamishandAndy.com. Yes. You will see a form there for the People's Junket.
Yep.
It's got all the details you need, and then someone will contact you back. Thanks, guys.
Haim, we love our valued and more involved podcasters. Mm-hmm. They fill out the form at hamishnady.com. Go there if you want to talk to us about anything. But if you want to share a bit more information about yourself.
It's huge. The database is absolutely bursting at the seams.
Absolutely.
No, it was a bit. So don't let that dissuade you. There's still room for your email.
No.
We put it in a new tub with more solid seams and much bigger volume. It's actually now.
There's contingency pockets at the seams of where it was. So it spills into other pockets.
Yeah, there are overflow areas and not a single email will hit the floor. That's a guarantee.
This one had caught my eye. It came from Tara. And she says that she is excellent at lying and keeping a poker face.
Yeah.
We wanted to test the liar. Could we pick when she was lying? So we established a game earlier today.
Tara, how
are
you? Come on in.
Come on in.
Lovely to meet you.
You too.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Or is it Tara?
It is not, maybe.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're trying to figure out if you're a liar, we might be sitting here all day.
Yeah.
Because you've lied to us and you're not coming in. So you told us the truth about coming in, which we really appreciate.
Yeah.
Now, you'd be aware that you're here due to your claim of having an excellent poker face.
Indeed.
And being an excellent liar.
Yeah.
So, as we understand it, and correct us if we're wrong here, you're able to both tell the truth and lie with exactly the same external cues.
Yes, that is the plan.
There's no difference to the casual observer for a lying Tara and a truthful Tara.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Are you worried about close personal friends, work colleagues, etc., watching this and going, oh, it changes my opinion on Tara?
No, because they already know, because I've done it many times for them.
Is there a part of you, it's a bit of like a superpower,
yeah,
is there a part of you that knows you can't use this power for evil too much?
Well, sort of, but I mean, you know, morality is very subjective, so.
It's elastic.
Yeah.
Do you use this to play poker? Do you use this to make money? Can you use this skill?
Yeah. My dad taught me to play poker when I was 7.
So you have no tells?
Maybe.
Tells.
I don't know, did he?
She's warming up.
All right,
she's warming up, Emma.
You go to this side of the table. Yep. This is verbatim from Tara's correspondence. I'm excellent at lying and keeping a poker face.
Yep.
So I understand what's happened then is producers have organised you to have 6 statements.
Yep.
This is correct.
And you're going to say the statement and we're going to look at you and work out whether we think that's a lie or that's true.
We've got 6 envelopes in front of us that our producer Grinners has put together. They're labelled 1 to 6. You know you've got the order of 1 to 6 what your statements are.
I do.
Anna and I will write on the front of the envelope true or lie for all 6. Then at the end we open up, we get to see if we were correct.
Oh, okay, yep, cool.
I think if you get 4 out of 6 right, I think that's a coin.
Now, right is we've got it wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. So if we fail 4 out of 6 times, you've got that shiny H&A coin.
I totally forgot about that. I'm just here for glory.
But now that you see it,
no one forgets about H&A coin.
Well, that's good. That's actually added a bit of pressure on it. Now she might want the game more.
Scales a tip back to us.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Tara?
Are you ready? Yeah. You can just lie on command though, can't you? Or tell
the truth. Give us your first statement.
I once had a job interview that went for 7 hours.
Okay, we're not allowed to ask questions, are we?
No. That would be a different game.
Yeah.
Because she's very good.
I'm staring into her eyes. She hasn't moved. It sounds like a very long job interview.
I know. It's one of those ones where you're like, well, why would someone make that up? But that's the game.
Yeah.
And I feel like I could be working headfirst into a trap here, but I'm going to say lie.
Lie? Okay, we'll put down lie.
It just seems so obvious that it's a lie. Oh, do we? Gosh, she's looking at me and she's got me. She's got me.
Do we reveal straight away?
No, we'll wait to the end, I think.
Okay.
Oh, or do you want
to... We should always talk about these, should we?
Sorry, Tara.
Put it aside.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll reveal them all at the end.
Okay.
Phrase number two or statement number two.
Sure. My granddad won a Logie in the 70s for screenwriting.
That to me felt more like a lie.
There is no screenwriting Logie these days, yes. But there might have been one.
But I was more just going by the body language. It seemed like she was
reaching.
That could
reaching. Be a lie. I think she that could be a lie. Because do you know what it felt like? Yeah. Guys, I can't go to work today. I'm sick but with an ear infection and a runny nose.
Yeah.
And my knee fell off.
Too much information.
It felt like the screenwriting edition, and I hate doing this in front of you, Tara, it could have been too...
Overcompensate.
Too much detail.
Yep, too much
detail. Classic too much detail lie. So far, we think they're all lies.
Two lies.
Okay, Tara.
Statement number three, Tara.
Okay. I have a younger sister and we are born on the same day, but she's exactly a year later than me.
Okay, I'm looking. There's a bit of quiver on the lip there.
No, but that, it's very hard to tell if this is a tell or if it's just weird that people... This is a long amount.
It's weird that people are looking at me like this.
This is just a long amount of eye contact.
We've put her in a very weird scenario.
Because there's no normal face you can pull
when
if
two
someone's
guys...
staring at your whole face
yes.
for a very, very long time, which we are doing, and I apologise, but this is part of the job.
I did sign up for this.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Okay, so your little sister, same birthday. Cool fact. Is it true?
It rolled off the tongue like she'd said it before.
Any pausing there, I think, was just to go, what's the easiest way to explain this to you guys? Because people get confused by this sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's true.
True. I'm in agreement. Okay. Statement four.
I have a selfie with Julia Gillard.
That thing at the start.
Yeah,
there's a bit of an inhale.
Which, I mean, we've asked her to remember fourth.
Probably just six a human statements. Being trying to remember fourth of the six statements
in order.
They're very possible. You know what that might have been?
Yeah.
We've got one right.
Yeah.
I reckon there was a bit of Tara going, they've got me. Now, I don't know which one it was, but somewhere we've got it.
Because
and it was her going, okay. I think it might have been a bit of self-talk going, all right, Tara, bring
deliver
it home.
This,
deliver this. Bring it home. Keep your shields stay up, Spartans.
Yeah.
Like, stop showing jinx.
I'm going to say that was true.
I'll back you.
I think you're right that we've got one right.
Yeah.
Because if we've got all of them wrong, Tara's already won and she'd be smiling. She'd be beaming like a golden crumpet.
She's giving us nothing. You've got a very Mona Lisa smile, Tara. Has anyone said that before?
Yes, I have been told that.
Yeah.
And by your myself, mostly.
Your eyes are also Mona Lisa. You have the ability to follow us.
But the good news is you have eyebrows and the Mona Lisa does not.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, this is accurate. Thank God we're filming this.
Statement five.
Okay. I have visited every capital city in Australia.
You know what's hard about the game?
Yeah.
Because we have to go off her and her body language and the tells and you're studying her face, but then you also think about the fact and you're like, why would you go to Darwin? Or something like that.
It's no offence. We've been several times.
We like Darwin.
We love Darwin. I know what you mean. Why would you hit every single one?
Yeah.
It is throughout my life.
I mean. Yeah, of course.
Yes.
It wasn't you. Didn't host the Today Show during one of the periods where they were hugging Australia. Mm.
Now, Tara jumping back in there to try and reaffirm, is that something we should be thinking
about? Oh, did you just get trapped by Andy?
Is that something we should be thinking about?
Why would she
want us to believe?
Why would she want us to believe?
Is it a double bluff?
Is it a red herring? God, I'm just...
Everything
inside me wants to ask
her
what she thought of Hobart.
Lie.
Okay, he's lying. Yep.
Okay. And the final statement...
When I was a teenager, I had to have my appendix out and I needed to resit my exams because of it.
Okay. She's very good.
Interesting. She's very, very good. It's an iron curtain. It's an absolute iron curtain.
Tara's demeanour hasn't changed a lot between statement one to statement six.
Yeah.
And we know that there's some red herrings in there.
She certainly doesn't take her glasses off and polish them or something. her tells are nano tells, if they're there at all, and I can't say I've found one.
No.
You're chinkless, my lady.
I would
chinkless.
Thank you, good sir.
I would say though, Ham, if I was going off the delivery, again, it felt like it rolled off the tongue quicker than the others.
But that might just mean she's a natural liar. What if we're dealing with someone that's more comfortable lying than telling the truth?
Yeah. I'm going to say...
This sounds so insulting, but I mean, it's the game. It's like we're really insulting someone to their face.
I think she works hard for her lying. She wasn't a natural born liar. And hence, I think that last one was true.
Okay.
Okay. We now go to the reveal.
Good luck.
Yes, and to you.
Phrase one.
This, if I remember correctly,
seven-hour job interview.
Seven-hour job interview. We said lie. True.
Oh, what was the job interview?
Was it like prac? Were you driving a truck or something?
No. Thank you for thinking I'm a truck driver, though. It was for an au pair. I live in au pair job.
And so you went to practice looking after the baby. So you gave you a shift.
A little bit. Like, it was kind of, I had about an hour and a half chat with the mum, and then I met the dad, and then I met the kids.
You know what? Let's play Monopoly. To the end, and then we'll decide.
They ended up buying me dinner at a very nice restaurant.
Oh, I'd hope so, and for 7 hours.
I got out of there. I started around 1. I got out of there around, 8.
Did you get the job? That.
No.
But you got the dinner.
I'd never actually looked after children before. I was lying my way through that one. So. But they were very lovely people, and it's probably a good thing I didn't get it.
Statement two was?
My granddad.
Yes.
The Logie.
The granddad, Logie.
We said lie.
Screen running, false.
Yes.
We picked it.
That one's...
And I think we... The screenwriting was the error.
And
there was a best script for an episode of Homicide that a man named Fred Cullen won.
Oh, so the Logie,
1974.
So the Logie
had screenwriting.
Yeah.
And eventually they went.
So I did do some research on that one.
Well done, Tara.
Just in case. You know what? It's not that hard to write an episode of Home and Away.
It's fine.
We're not getting a Logie for it.
We thought too much information. I think we thought too much information. We got that right. Okay.
Yeah, that was very good.
Third was the sister.
Sister, birthday.
Exactly the same, 1 year apart. We said true. We thought it rolled off the tongue. Well, it's false, damn it.
So I don't even have a sister.
Don't even have a sister. And I appreciate that because you didn't. If there's one thing I didn't want us to get caught out on today, it was like mini lies of being like, oh, yeah, my brother's 1 year apart.
You know what I mean?
Great. Don't even have a sister? No. Absolutely. Rings around us there.
2-1. Statement four was.
Selfie with Julia.
Oh, yeah, Julia selfie. We said true.
Statement four was selfie with Julia.
We said you have a selfie with Julia Gillard.
It's coming out of the thingo. It's true. She does have a selfie with Julia.
That was correct, indeed.
Okay, we are down to two more. You need to get both correct to win.
Mm.
Number five,
of course,
was.
I'll let you do it.
Number five, Capital Cities.
We said lie.
Well, that's because I thought she doubled down trying to convince me.
And which now we know could be.
And it is a lie. It's a lie.
I've not been to Adelaide or Darwin. Yeah.
Ando was beginning to figure out that anytime there's extra information, he was willing to back
that's
a lie.
That's what I felt. And then so the last one.
It's very good.
Which again, I thought rolled off the tongue very quickly.
We can tie it up here, so that's not too bad.
My appendix was removed as a teenager was actually false.
That was a good lie.
Still got
and
my
I
appendix.
Said that was true. It goes to three all.
Three rats we smelled. Three rats went unsniffed.
Indeed.
Three clean rats.
Yeah.
It's not a bad result
from
a batch of six rats.
There's no coin.
Unusual rats as well. Be so clean.
There will be no coin today.
But my God, there's respect.
And
I'm going to make a small certificate for you. Which is fast becoming the thing that I feel is necessary to do for people that have taken the time to come here to be scrutinised and insulted, in this case, to their face as natural born liars.
Thank you.
And I will make you a very small certificate.
Great.
Which... are proving rarer than the coins themselves.
It's a confusing thing to add to the economy, but a very small certificate is on its way.
Thank you, Tara.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Ando, we love, as we've said many times on the show, we love our listeners. We love the people that volunteer their information to us. But not everyone hits us up at hamishandy.com and says, here's all about me.
No.
Sometimes it's left to us, having eyes and ears,
yep,
to look around and also figure out the world. The world's not going to come to us.
No.
We must also observe the world.
Yes.
We thought, we thought a great way to celebrate the diversity, the amazing differences and wonderful different traits that everyone has on this planet could be a fun segment called Learn Your Humans, because we all know the basic humans, but they've...
Tall, short,
brown hair.
Blonde hair.
White hair, no hair, some hair,
There's also...
Myself might be guilty of that in years to come, hanging on desperately. But there's also subcategories, deep, those are the generalizations.
Yep.
Deep subcategories. Mm. That's what we focus on in Learn Your Humans.
Learn Your Humans!
Andy,
yes.
Today's human that I'd like to nominate is Chubby Holiday Gym Guy. I recently observed this guy while I was away for a weekend with my wife. He's the guy, and I've been him myself four times that I can remember.
Yes.
He's the guy that doesn't exercise, and when he's on holidays, notices everyone else is fit, whether it's a pool or a beach scenario, so panics and tries to go to the gym for the first time in over a year whilst on holidays, somehow in the thought that by the end of the holiday, he will have a good body. I salute you, Chubby Holiday Workout Guy.
That's great. That is great, yes.
Yeah. Another classic from that guy is, and again, I'm only speaking from experience here, Mexico, 7 years ago I was in Mexico with Zoe. Yep. I tried this to no avail.
You're like, and they've gone to a place which has a gym.
Yep.
And
I did push-ups on schoolies. I'll admit it. I'd never done a push-up really in my life probably before that, and then got to schoolies and went, oh, my God. These elder guys that are stealing our girls that we went to high school with, they've all got great bods. They must have played sport or something. So I had a go. You will not change your body in 7 days. Ask Sam Woods. It's a 28-day course. Minimum.
Yep.
Minimum. Bless your holidays, 40 days. Don't bother. If you've missed out, don't bother.
Haim, I'd like to throw one in the mix now that I'm getting the hang of this.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Learn your humans.
And the category of human that I'd like to talk about today is the person or persons who will take a photo on an iPad.
Yeah, great. Great. 60 plus, you'll find these.
Yes.
60 plus or travellers.
Travellers.
Yeah.
For some reason, feel it's appropriate to use an iPad as their main source of photography.
We all know.
They often have glasses, but they have to take their glasses off to somehow work the machine.
Squinting's involved. So is sometimes spinning the iPad around so it's either landscape or portrait. iPads have cameras.
Yeah.
This we all know.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Yes.
It's put in for everyone else's amusement. Apple didn't mean it. They will get rid of them soon. 100%.
Yes.
I think I've got one more actually.
Oh, good.
Now that I think of it, that I saw this week.
Learn your human.
A human I'd like to talk about is the very, very tall, skinny guy with the ponytail. Why do you always wear such loose, long sleeve shirts? They do. They do. You know they do.
Yeah.
You walk fast, you hunch over, and you wear very, very loose long sleeve shirts.
Yes.
Why is that?
I mean,
is it because the length, you can only get length with width?
I think that's it.
Is that it?
It's the fact that they have to go to a big man's store because of their length.
And they have billowing shirts. I've never seen a very, very tall, skinny man with a ponytail in a fitted shirt. They're always sales. Boys, we do have to wrap up for another day.
Mm-hmm.
I think I need to bring this up. Something's been handed to me by one of our producers. We might remember Kenny from the start of the show.
Yeah, Irish Kenny. I remember him. He was only about 35 minutes ago.
Okay. Just getting everyone on the same page. Hey, Ando, you're on my side on this, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, don't. You got nothing to worry about.
Okay.
You got absolutely nothing to worry about. So I don't, it's natural when someone brings something up, you go, how are we going to fall here? 2-1, 2-1 one way, 2-1 the other way?
Or am I just going to turtle this and just pull everything
or
into the
shell?
Or just
be 1-1-1? Do we all just lash out at each other?
Yeah.
I'm giving you, you got total immunity here.
Okay, great.
Enjoy this.
Okay.
Because I think you will. Obviously, Kenny being in Ireland, some telephone setup was required today. Jack, did you speak to Kenny before we got in?
That's true.
had a bit of a chat to Kenny, great. And Mike, Radio Mike, who helps on the show, puts stuff together. He's been emailing Kenny to go, yep, hey, guy, hey, mate, we'd love to have a chat to you, you know, figuring out the times. So Jack's been verbally talking to Kenny. Mike's been email talking to him. Mike passed on an email from Kenny just now, post being on the show. You know, Kenny got the coin, so he's obviously very excited. Mike's facilitating the transfer of the coin, writing down his unique coin number, making sure that, you know, it's logged on the books. This is from Kenny to Mike. Hey, man, thanks a lot. I was so happy to be on the show. Keep up the great work. The show's amazing. Okay. Well, that's nice. And he goes, then we get into the guts of it. Goes, also, I didn't want to say this on air. Okay, so what's this? Kenny's got something.
So he's come off a victory.
He's come off a high.
And then he's gone to himself.
Obviously got something he feels like he needs to bring up, but he chose not to do it on air because he's a professional, I think. But he wants to reach out to someone from the show because he doesn't think he can sit on this.
I have no idea what I can. The only thing I remember saying to him is, Kenny, I'll call you back in 5 minutes when we're ready to go.
Okay, so now we've got Jack's statement. Didn't want to bring this on air, but when Jack rang me, he sniggered a bit. And I couldn't help but feel he bullied me. Now, of course he's not going to bring that up in front of his bully, nor should any victim have to. But he's done the right thing. He's reached out to Mike to go, you are a great producer. You obviously care about this podcast. May it
What did
rain.
You laugh at him about, Jack?
I don't know, but I'm getting close to not laughing on the show anymore at all. Full stop.
Big.
I wouldn't want that.
Don't take that away
Jack
from the people.
No, I wouldn't want that.
Thank you, Andy.
This is... No, don't try and change the 2-1 split. but this is obviously a problem, Jack, that you have got. You've got a bullying snigger. And Kenny certainly felt it. This is now a coin owner and, you know, he's elevated himself, not just from a very important podcaster, but to a rarefied coin-owning podcaster. Mm. He's reached out to Mike. Mike's done the right thing and passed it on to management, to me and Andy. He's thinking a bit, couldn't help but fully believe me. I didn't want to say anything on air in case he sniggered at me again, but hopefully the lads can stamp that out.
All right, next week.
Looking forward
show.
To the show, Kenny.
Next week's show, I'm not going to make a peep.
Wow.
No laughter.
Oh, peepless post.
Gosh.
And I should say one more thing about the coins, while we're talking about the coins. Yeah. Remember in London, I didn't give the coin to the guy who got to me second. I had three coins to give away.
Made an enemy.
He kept emailing and saying, blah, 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 this. I should have got a coin. So I'm giving him my one that you lent to me.
But it's not yours.
I know. I already told him, though.
It's not yours to give. And how much of the how many of those 10 £5 payments have you
zero,
made?
Zero, you know, zero.
We'll work this out next
Who
week.
Who is this bully?
Let's just sit on this.
This is what unfortunately what we were looking for was a sorry Kenny, and what you did instead was lash out.
No, I'm getting sick of these guys like Kenny and all of them getting on.
Would you like to actually record on the podcast? You're getting sick of the listeners. Am I hearing this correctly?
Just the guys who like jumping on the bullying.
He felt bullied,
thing
Jack. And, he felt bullied. You stink it at him.
Hey, Jack.
You've done it before. You did it again.
It's not my birthday every day. Sometimes you have
I
to
wish
wear.
Tell us that.
Sometimes you have to wear the cloak that the people give you.
I wish you would tell yours, us that and stop demanding.
And yours has a big kick me sided on the back. Right. Unfortunately,
I'm taking next week off.
New track suits next week, though.
Oh, good.
Yep, got the post office slip. They're waiting to be picked up.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.
Listener.